interrupting the current neo-uranial, climate-challenged, behaviorally controlled, energy-starved, alien-invaded, nuclear-glowing, postulated cricketism to bring you behind the woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM 614. And remember, being free is not a spectator sport, so get you behind the woodshed because you don't know what you missed until you make the switch and get you behind the woodshed. It's pretty much that simple. Anybody who does this will find that out. You don't talk from your opinion. You talk from the black and white, and that gives you the foundation that you need to support what you're going to say against most everybody. I don't know if people believe that until they start doing it, and then they find out. But on a side note, Biden didn't waste any time to be free here. As we can read to Joe, you ain't black Biden joins black Freemasons. The former U.S. president could technically be excommunicated from the Catholic Church for becoming a Master Mason. Former U.S. President Joe Biden, a self-professed Catholic, has joined an African-American Masonic Lodge as a Master Mason. The Vatican takes a dim view of Freemasonry, and Catholics who join the fraternal order face excommunication. Biden was introduced into the most worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge in South Carolina on Sunday, one day before he left office. In a private ceremony, the Lodge Master Grand Master Victor C. Major granted Biden Master Mason's membership with full honors, according to a statement published by the organization last weekend that circulated online Friday. Quote, to be a Freemason is to be part of a brotherhood dedicated to personal growth, service to others, and the pursuit of knowledge and truth, the Lodge wrote. Biden's service, the statement added, quote, reflects the core values of this brotherhood. Although its origins stretch back to the 15th century, modern Freemasonry developed in Britain in the early 1700s and quickly grew into Europe and U.S.-wide fraternities for philosophers, religious dissidents, occultists, and the business and political elite. Some 14 U.S. presidents, including George Washington, were Freemasons. Prince Hall Masonry is a historically black sect of Freemasonry founded in 1775 by freed slaves in Boston. Biden has not publicly acknowledged joining the ranks of the Prince Hall Masons. However, his membership in the organization stands at odds with his Catholic faith. Pope Clement XII forbade Catholics from practicing Freemasonry in 1738, and this papal ban remained in place until 1983, when the Vatican issued a new order banning membership in organizations that, quote, plot against the church, with a capital C here, church. While the new order did not explicitly name Freemasonry, it maintained excommunication as a potential punishment for Catholics who joined such organizations. Quote, the faithful who enroll in Masonic associations are in a state of grave sin and may not receive Holy Communion, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger, who would go on to become Pope, declared at the time. Throughout his political life, Biden has sometimes embraced political positions that contradict his faith. Back in 2021, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops drafted a document that would have forbidden Biden from receiving Holy Communion over his pro-abortion views. After Pope Francis declared Biden a good Catholic and said that he should continue receiving communion, the document was revised to state that Catholic politicians have a special responsibility to embody church teaching in their service of the common good. So since before old George Washington is a long time to be around to mean nothing, so make of this what you will, those of you that will do this, but whose teaching does Biden embody, actually? And is excommunication of this good Catholic a false distinction for the masses, evidencing more the right hand doesn't know what to do about the left? And the Pope most certainly did not come out against the Biden organized crime family. Biden just pardoned as well, and maybe they all reconcile as the future that they want. The Green New Deals, global warming, Gaia, the green religion, and maybe that's where part of this is connected, and it really all doesn't matter. In the first minutes of his presidency, Donald Trump signed a decree granting full pardon to 1.5 thousand prisoners convicted of storming the Capitol in January 2021. In the first minutes of his presidency, Donald Trump signed a decree granting the full pardon. I look forward to their release in the coming hours, said Trump. What else did Trump do in his first hours as the owner of the White House? Owner of the plantation, I suppose, too, right? Trump returned the button for ordering Diet Coke to the Oval Office, and the Wall Street Journal had reported, and that was really important, by the, what the second thing he did, right? That was so super important. And I hope you all study about what Diet Coke does to you. But at any rate, he survived this long. It must be good for him. Trump told reporters that he would meet with, maybe not, as we consider the kind of attacking he's doing and what's going on and how he's gotten here and why he does it. Very interesting. Maybe a bit of a disorder as well. Anyway, Trump told reporters that he would meet with Putin, but did not specify where or when, although he indicated that this could happen very soon. And you'll hear a lot of this from him. Everything's going to happen, and then you watch, and you watch, and you watch your watch, and you watch your watch, and watch your watch. And then maybe something pops out, or not. Trump said he would seek an end to the conflict in Ukraine as soon as possible. So there's that big hesitation of what's going on. I've been pointing these things out for us so that we don't get too lost into being the cheerleaders, notwithstanding all the good things that will be coming out of this, like releasing the J6 and like doing some other things that every president should have been doing all along. That he looks like a hero when he starts doing what they were supposed to be doing that they never did. So I'm not condemning anything that we can see that should be done good and should have been done, but I'm not going to give him more brownie points for doing that and saving America. That's just what the officer in that office was supposed to be doing. Trump added that the America has spent $200 billion more to support Ukraine than other NATO members. Trump said that the United States has the right to half of the TikTok social network. But I want you to consider these words that's being stated. If they can own half, they can own you. And this is the point about the property. When you get into that municipal law, I keep telling you about your civil rights of Title 42. That municipal law, you'll find, and you dig through that, you'll find out you're considered property as someone subject to the jurisdiction of the United States, that 14th Amendment. 42 U.S.C. 1981 law, equal rights for everybody to pay extortions of every kind. You'll be finding out you are already property. You don't have any rights based on the fact that you're already deemed property. And I've been pointing out that they are taking away property so they don't have to give any due process. The U.S. president also signed several decrees. Trump signed a decree stimulating energy production in Alaska. Trump is forming the Department of Public Administration Efficiency by decree. According to him, an office for about 20 people will be created to ensure the fulfillment of the DOGE mission. Trump declares a state emergency on the southern border of the country. You know, I'm observing here to tell you, state of emergencies, you need to watch out. And to the extent that they start to travel or be used as the excuse, as we saw national security go on. Now, you can hear, this is two-week-old news, but I had it on my tabs. I thought it was important to see he's coming out guns a-blazing on this. And that's a good thing. They prepared to start into work, but be very careful on what's coming through. And to be able to still don't turn away thinking he's doing great for everything and everybody, because he's not. As I've shown you, this Department of Public Administration Division is not an office, as it's explained here. It's not an office. It's just an advisory council to the office of president, to the chief of staff there. And it doesn't do. At least I haven't found the order that says any different. Lots of people are saying the DOGE is doing lots of money claiming. I'll hit a tab about that. But if you read that, we read that article, at least I reported what was being reported, it says nothing of the sort. It's all about digital infrastructure, the IT system in the government to bring it more modernized and interoperable, as I interpret it, that mean to mean it's going to be it's the foundation for the Siberian Gulag, the digital panopticon. And again, looking through and looking at this, nothing is changing my opinion. If that's what it is, if it's a studied view of this, just restating all the facts, the disparate facts, wherever you find them, pulling them together, making it mean something. He hasn't done anything of the sort. So be very careful what we're watching. Even if he's, as I keep saying, even if he's right and he gets all this stuff right for him, it doesn't necessarily stay for the next regime that comes in. And this is our real danger. As I tell you, they push back and they let up. They push back, they let up. They push back, they let up. And pretty soon, you don't realize you've been pushed right to the end of the cliff, and you're on the very edge of it. And that same day, Trump also reversed, and this is where I was telling you, what is wiped on can be wiped out real quick. And Biden did it to Trump, and Trump's doing it again to Biden. Trump reversed 78 decisions of the last president. The new president of the United States, Donald Trump, signed a decree revoking 78 decisions of his predecessor, Joe Biden. He stated this during a speech to his supporters broadcast on a television channel. He also signed 8 more documents, among them an order for all federal agencies to address the costs of living crisis, a requirement for all officials to leave remote work, a temporary ban on agencies issuing new regulations, and the U.S. withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement. The head of state promised that Americans would be very pleased as they would see changes in the country for the better. Okay, I appreciate that, but some of the changes for the better are running cover from some serious, serious defects that do not make America great again. And I really can't tell that this guy knows what he's doing at some of this point, although he seems to be really intelligent. As I pointed out, it's real easy to miss some of the stuff I talk about that lots of people are missing or they know. But that's even a bigger deception going on. Everyone wants to call about 5D chess. It's not at all. It's a methodical plan being laid out. And if he's effecting that plan by accident, woe be unto us. I can just tell you that. You'll all be head in the clouds about how great it is, and you haven't noticed. They built the prison right up, and the fog clears, the fog of euphoria clears, and you're sitting in a prison. But it's now a new modernized style, and your whole life depends on it. And the world is locked down, but it's all still at war because you got to keep strife. You got to keep everybody in fear. That's going to be one of the continuing things. And this next story escalated quickly. Peacemaker indeed on Trump. Trump tells Denmark PM he's serious about taking over Greenland in a fiery phone call that has the Danes in crisis mode. And you're going to watch. This is one of Trump's hallmark actions to bring surprise and strife onto people and get them, and then he just kept pressing what he wants. He doesn't even rationalize it too well, actually, when you think about it. And that's one of the arts of the arts of a deal is to do that. And the art of the steal is to persist, and you're big enough, your club that you wield can actually cause people to have to capitulate. And he looks like a victor, but he's actually committed an attack on somebody. President Donald Trump told Denmark's prime minister he is serious about taking over Greenland. Trump and Mette Frederiksen spoke on the phone for 45 minutes last week. The phone call was fiery, with one official with knowledge of the conversation calling it horrendous. So this is what you're facing when you're facing this guy. It's not really negotiations. And Trump knows about that. And that part he knows about. So I got to tell you, because of the things he's doing that look good, that you could say was great stuff, things that the office should be doing to make justice in the world and moving it forward for the American people. As I've said, he may have, in one example, he kills out the WHO, but then he domesticates the system for y'all. And he covers it underneath this Stargate project. And you just heard, he cut the Paris Climate Accord. It went away, it came back. It went away, it comes back. It has to be enacted. You have to get that stopped by the legislature. So you see a little bit of his weakness here. He can only go so far. He can go quite far with the national security. Why, that's been invoked in a couple spots. I want people to have their eyes open about this guy. He's really not the Messiah. And he's still operating within the office. And so you see some things going on, and you may agree with some of it, but we have to agree with all of it, actually. A Danish official during a session of the European Parliament, in response to that session, has told Donald Trump to F asterisk, asterisk, asterisk off as the United States president continues to express his desire to buy Greenland. Trump has repeatedly made calls for U.S. ownership of the world's largest island, despite being told it is not for sale. Danish territory is the home of a large U.S. military base and sits in the area of a strategically military importance for the United States, China, and Russia. Trump has called U.S. ownership, quote, necessary for international security, and suggested the people of Greenland would be happier with the change. In response to Trump's renewed calls, Anders Vistisen, a Danish member of the European Parliament, warned that the president that Greenland is not for sale. Quote, dear President Trump, listen very carefully. Greenland has been part of the Danish kingdom for 800 years. It's an integrated part of our country. It's not for sale. Let me put it in words you might understand. Mr. Trump, F asterisk, 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 off. Pretty bold, right? And yet, they have nothing to back that up. A lot of bluster at some point, and we may be watching some changes. It's going to be very interesting. And to keep the entertainment coming in this occupied territory of ours, in the United States, White House comments on mystery drones. In 2024, the Biden administration drew criticism for identifying the origins of objects spotted over the East Coast. U.S. authorities have dismissed speculation that mass sightings of drones in the last past few months were linked to hostile activities. Now, I want you to keep track of this as we find out now what it really was and who knew. U.S. authorities had dismissed speculation that mass sightings of drones, everything in the sky was a drone now, is the past few months was linked to hostile activities. So they were actually telling you, I called that out. They're telling you that it's they know about it. And here we're getting the confirmation of that point. Last year, then President Joe Biden's administration faced widespread criticism for not identifying the origins of the objects. The Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, authorized the unmanned aircraft operating over New Jersey, quote, for research and various other reasons, Leavitt told the media, adding that many of them belonged to, quote, private individuals that enjoy flying drones. So the government knew these UFOs were not a mystery. And as I told you, every video I saw didn't suggest unknown, as I could see. No, this was a complete scam on the population, and the government knew it and monitored your reactions. And there was only one reason I can think of to do this, but I've seen no solid evidence beyond mere speculation of any concurrent camouflage disclosure that people are waiting to see or hear. And on the other side, they don't have to be enemies either, as we listen to the words coming out of the government. What are we all looking at? Now they've thrown it underneath, oh, it was just private drones. And they didn't say a thing. It was causing the population to react. And they still said nothing. That's a violation on its face, but it doesn't seem that anybody pays attention to that. The Morris County Prosecutor's Office first reported the aerial activity leading to temporary flight restrictions, including at Stewart International Airport in New York. Now start understanding what's going on here. This is the FAA that's supposed to be registering this, and they shut down the airport if they were registering it. Something's an anomaly there, that's for sure. Be that as it may, this is now the report coming out. At the time, the FBI reported receiving thousands of tip-offs from citizens about drones they witnessed, and the Biden administration reassured the public that the objects posed no threat, which is another point I said, they're not. We know what they are. We just didn't have the proof that we knew, the United States government knew. But listen to the game that's going on, shutting down a whole airport, shutting down the transportation system on something they knew, they read that they registered people to operate there. So there's a couple of different stories, narratives that could be going on here that they're not talking about either. I just wanted to keep this out there. I had no interest in all this. I think it's a big scam to begin with, but there's so much inside of this that the government, we can witness the government doing to its own people is my interest really only, and this story should have sort of wrapped that up as, again, Trump does the good thing and tells us this. These small things, the crumbs that they're giving them. There are thousands of drones flown every day in the United States, recreational drones, commercial drones, then Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas stated, according to the FAA data, over a million civilian UAVs are registered nationwide. So what does that have to do with what was operating in New Jersey, though? See, this is now opening the whole panorama of things that could happen all over nationwide. We're not interested in those. but they dismiss it. But there's no threats because they knew, as I said earlier, no threat even from Iran at all. Remember, it was tied to that, which is China and Russia. And Trump knew, as I also mentioned then. In December, Trump accused the outgoing administration with withholding information about the unmanned planes, insisting, let the public know, and now. Otherwise, shoot them down. Before his inauguration, Trump promised to provide information about drones about one day into his administration during the conversation with Republican governors at Mar-a-Lago on January 9th. He said it's ridiculous that people are not being informed about what is happening with the aircraft. I suppose he couldn't tell us. But he knew. And he let it go on. And he watched the system lead people on to this nonsense. So he knew, but did not say. And this is what I'm telling you to watch out with this guy. What else does he know and not going to say? Well, let you all be afeared. Let you all be in wonder. You shouldn't even be worried about it. Yeah, they're cool looking. Don't get me wrong about being enamored by unknown flying objects. They're cool. I mean, I've seen a few. They were unidentified to me, and they were flying. That's all I can tell you. They had characteristics. I can only tell you other things. I was fooled by my own perception one time, so I even know the limitation of that. What I thought was a UFO, and they called it a UFO, maybe better UAP now, but a UFO, it turned out to be the Goodyear blimp at an altitude I've never seen. It was almost right above houses, it seemed, 100 feet. And I was at a high vantage top, and I looked out, and there's these lights moving all over the place. Some of these lights look just like these things that are out in the sky. It was quite stunning for about 2 minutes until it got close enough and I could see what it was, till I could see the gondola, actually. It was that low, I couldn't see it far enough away, I couldn't see the gondola. But my eyes perceived a UFO. I mean, a really, real, like a real one, folks. And it was actually something terrestrial. A normal, well, blimps aren't so normal, but anyway, it was in the sky. It's not normal enough that when you see the graphics from an angle, and all the lights flashing, and doing all kinds of things, just like you see them out there now, that it did not look like the blimp at all. It was camouflaged in the sky. It had that haze and everything else. The point is, our perception is faulty. And they played into that, and these guys played into that. They watched you respond. The FBI knew the whole time, didn't tell anybody. And it was just a bunch of people flying their drones, enough to shut down an airport. That was more important that they fly their drone to shut down the airport, folks. And they knew. Trump knew it was a big charade, but Trump's agenda here is more important to Trump, not you or yours, in his silence. He agreed to go along with the government deception, but why? That silence made America great again? Is that what this guy is about? I think you need to say yes and look at this very carefully. If that organized deception made America great again, what does Trump actually mean by it that it isn't what you believe it means? Trump is being dishonest, notwithstanding his disclosure now, which promise he did fulfill. I got to give him that, to the giddy adoration of his cheerleaders now as well. But why did he lie in letting it go on? For whom? And for what? Certainly isn't explained in this. The UAVs were not the enemy, White House Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt said on the first press briefing in President Donald Trump's new administration on Tuesday. As I said, they don't have to be the enemy or registered or known to you, my listener. She conveyed a message directly from the president, giving an update on the news story that made headlines throughout November and December. Sightings of unidentified aircraft were reportedly in New York City, New Jersey, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, in Virginia, while arrests were made in connection with a drone operation near restricted areas in Massachusetts and California. Amid public debate over the drones' possibly foreign origin, senior lawmakers have called for additional powers to be given to federal and state authorities to tackle such situations. This is a very important paragraph. Don't let a serious crisis go to waste. Do you understand the executive created a deception that the legislative branch got involved, wasting valuable time and effort to fraudulently empower government to more thoroughly control you. Unless, of course, your representatives were in on it and work for the foreign origins they are compromised to, which is part of what I'm looking at here as well. Because to actually tackle the problem required the government to prosecute the government instrumentalities committed to causing this alarm in the population for political ends. That's defined under federal law being terrorism. Go look at the word in the definition of the government itself, not your street dictionary like we would want, we should, simply being ruled by a government, the government by through fear, intimidation, or dread is terrorism in the street dictionary. They did that too with this. So in the aftermath, did Trump direct his attorney general to prosecute that? Clearly not. Then he agrees, doesn't he, that you should be terrorized and let the false claims that Iran or Russia or China done it to continue their neo-clown agenda. I hope you're watching this. I hope you're not enamored by too much. Like I said, there's one thing that it's neat and cool to see people getting out of jail that should have never been there in the first place. That, again, that's an injustice that really can't be rectified. But watch the cover that's running, what he's allowing underneath and not really telling you. He still hasn't told you anything about this. Oh, no, but Iran done it. Russia done it. China done it. When we, the American people, the American government, can't do what we need to be doing, we blame others, apparently. And something China did done, at least a company in China, something I mentioned last episode. And despite Trump exhorting Western AI Siberian Gulag dominance last week, saying this a few days later, that this breakthrough Chinese AI app is a wake-up call for the U.S. A wake-up call indeed, you uninformed thug. DeepSeek's sudden rise should prompt American companies to come up with a cheaper, faster platforms, the U.S. president has said. Please follow these incongruities throughout what his term is going to be full of these things. Do not be enamored by what you're hearing. The good stuff should not cover up the lack of information the guy has around him, the lack of good advice he has around. He overwhelms that by his direct and tough thuggish actions. Don't let that lull you into thinking that he's actually doing everything so well. But he'll claim it, but it doesn't actually come out. He now gets slapped a week later. A $500 billion investment in Stargate is slapped down by one program coming out being given as an open source free program by China. And this is, as I said, open source, free. It's apparently not with the proprietary and fascist sustainable public-private business model that's being imposed upon the public that Trump just endorsed last week. That's public-private partnership leverage funding that they invest, the companies invest a bit in, but then they show the government, likely in the military side, that the government should buy it from them. This is the same leverage funding I've been talking to you about. You create a need, and then the government will pay you if that need is looking at what the government said they thought they want. President Donald Trump has described China's DeepSeek AI as a significant wake-up call. This is 1 week after he was endorsing a $500 billion Stargate installation that was going to bring dominance to the system. Now it's a wake-up call. What a small company in China pulled off. But this is also showing something else about these companies taking advantage. The wake-up call for the U.S. technology firms highlighting the cost-effectiveness. He said American companies would need to intensify AI development to stay competitive. Oh, they were the bee's knees last week. Developed by Hangzhou-based startup DeepSeek Incorporated, the AI assistant of the same name was released last week. It has since become the most popular program on Apple's U.S. App Store, surpassing the U.S.-based OpenAI's ChatGPT. The success comes despite the U.S. using export controls to block China firms from using advanced microchips. Put this together, folks. They're running right around the fact they don't have the chips and they're not going to get them, so they don't care. They're going to develop things around what they have as they learn how to do the other things. DeepSeek performs as well as its competitors on key benchmarks running on less advanced chips than more expensive U.S. and Indian-owned options. We also suggest to you, I told you, we should have never offshored our microchip development and production. You used to work in the R&D for those chip designs. And when they offshored them, it was absolutely a mistake. When you find out what's behind what it takes to build these things, and boy, they've really gone exponentially, more than exponentially greater than when I was in it. You realize it was a big mistake what they did, and now you're watching how hard. I told you it was going to be very difficult to reinstall that in the United States. So they come up with all this blustery stuff like it's going to be something great, and there's competition out there anymore now. And so the wake-up call comes to Trump as well. Please understand that. Speaking in Florida on Monday, Trump commented on the app's success, pointing to its faster and more cost-effective development. That's good because you don't have to spend that much money. I view that as a positive, as an asset, he said. And sure, it would be. But look at the egg on his face. Look at what's going on here, what he really doesn't understand is going on in the industry for sure. The release of DeepSeek AI from a Chinese company should be a wake-up call for all our industries that we need to be laser-focused on competing to win, he urged, adding that it should prompt rival U.S. firms to come up with more cost-effective solutions. In a way, I don't think it will. What it does is it causes those companies to start lying even more. And remember, it used to be America was great because it led the way through competition. But no more. The U.S. offshored that national security necessity, and China is showing superiority in an expanding array of subject matter areas because of that offshoring. Talk about a genie out of the bottle. So much for American dominance. In a week, it's evaporated. The U.S. cannot allow CCP, Chinese Communist Party, and I think it's actually CPC. Officially, it's the Communist Party of China. You may not think that's important, but this almost shows in details the bias in the story and the reporting when they don't want to get it right. It's an insult. And so they keep throwing that insult out there, but it's not the CCP. So the U.S. government is wrong again there in this statement. But this, again, is disrespectful. But don't underestimate the insult taken by the Chinese when they do this. But at any rate, these models such as DeepSeek risk our national security and leverage our technology to advance their AI ambitions. We must work to swiftly place stronger export controls on technologies critical to DeepSeek's AI infrastructure, Representative John Molinar, the chair of the U.S. House Select Committee on China, said. So it seems that we're here, Representative John Molinar doesn't even know whom he's officially referring to in this. Whether when he says CCP, he doesn't even know who he's talking about at all. They're more interested in constantly insulting China when they're referencing the CCP. And I don't take this as a small matter. I've told you how important, at least to me, diplomacy is. And it used to carry a lot of respect. We carried a lot of style and class with us when we did that. And you see some of the top diplomats will do that now, even if they're at war with each other. But it's pretty interesting, the considerations that are going on. But this constant insult is showing you a mind weakness in the United States lawmaker, and the mind weakness in anybody who wants to continue that insult. And Trump has to recognize this. That absolutely is something that has to be met, or we fall behind, like we have in so many areas against China. So as to the imposition of more export controls, as we heard, have we already seen this deprivation strategy used, folks? How has it turned out? I mean, other than yet another wake-up call. That strategy, export strategy got us here to DeepSeek, didn't it? So apparently Representative Molinar needs his script changed. Probably easier to change out Molinar, I would just say, and put someone in there that is much more informed. Beyond all that behind the times reactionary government stupidity, that's STOOPIDITY for the hearing sensitive. Beyond all that, I think it would be great to have a program, a third one maybe. Maybe a more simple AI that looks at two different deployments, such as the OpenAI, arguably not foreign, and a foreign DeepSeek AI, where the simpler AI acts as an arbiter between the two to see if a better result can be obtained from one ideologically biased source alone. So AI can argue, these AIs can argue and get back to you with some more correct answers than what I've seen come out of any one. And I've seen people reporting on this. I have one report that the DeepSeek is very, very good. However, they have these inbred wokenesses, I guess I'll call them as a word, relative to the ideologies, and they fall short at those points. So if you use the foreign ones against each other, or you use them as a tool, like I've said, you may start to find a better truth than what any one might do. And I'm thinking maybe a third AI program to look at lots of different little things in the outputs of the other two. Might be an interesting way for we the people to go. Because DeepSeek says they put it out so that people would have a defense against government AI. And so think about that. But less than 1 week after the President Trump announced the Stargate AI-driven Siberian Gulag domesticating project, China destroys it again out of necessity due to sanctions. And the memes fly. China's breakthrough AI triggers meme fest. China's new DeepSeek AI app has taken social media by storm, becoming one of the most popular meme characters on X since its launch last week. Images. Oh, let me interject. It hasn't been around just since last week. That's when they offered the free version. In fact, the Pentagon's been using a prior version of this before. Now the government's stepping up just within the week to say the Navy doesn't want to have their people have it. The Pentagon's not supposed to be doing it, but they're finding that they do. There's a couple of other agencies are saying don't use it because they're claiming that it does phone home, I suppose. I think it does. I think there's been reports on that. And this is really can be a national security threat. And so those of you that are thinking about it, consider these things. Like I talked a little bit about that. Do you want your government to know about you, or you want the foreign government that you're never going to meet know about you if you're going to use these tools? Images featuring the AI assistant have gone viral, prompted by discussions of the app's breakthrough success and its immediate impact on the global tech industry. The startup's swift rise has already sent shockwaves through tech stocks amid a growing realization that cost-effective app could undermine U.S. dominance in the AI sector. DeepSeek has claimed that it created its latest AI model for a fraction of the cost of similar products by rival U.S. firms, again, who are profit-driven and looking to exploit and make more profit. That's their whole focus. As a result, the NASDAQ Composite Index on Monday fell 3.1%. The S&P dropped by 1.5%, and NVIDIA, the major U.S. chipmaker, was dethroned as the world's most valuable publicly traded company. So fraudulent promotions can bite, I suppose we can see here. Developed by the Hanzhou-based startup, the latest DeepSeek product, was released on January 20th and stripped OpenAI's ChatGPT of its title as the most popular program on App Store within days. The app's popularity soared so quickly that it resulted in DeepSeek's going offline and banning new registries, serving several times in the past week. Web users have been quick to comment on and illustrate the app's meteoric rise in memes. Some users mocked ChatGPT for losing its crown to the newcomer. Online discussions also touched on the DeepSeek's strengths in comparison with competitors and the far-reaching implications of the new AI technology. Overall, most posts pitched DeepSeek's launch as a good thing, capable of spurring the development of AI, which many said is still somewhat handicapped despite numerous breakthroughs. And you've heard me talk about all of that stuff as well. And then there was this pertinent comment Artificial intelligence race. Chinese startups have revolutionized the AI market in recent weeks. This, again, they're talking the market, the appeal to you to consume the product at this point. So this could lead to the collapse of an entire inflated IT bubble in the United States. On Wall Street, the effect of what is happening is compared to the launch of the Soviet satellite in 1957. Put these things in perspective. These are not inconsequential things we're watching and hearing. If you listen behind the wood at any time, you realize the dire condition that we, the people, really are in, where this technology starts to run beyond us, that we can't really keep up. And this product comes along, and it gives us a glimpse that we may have some too. And I'm hoping the open sourceness of this allows people that are coders to understand, who understand the machine learning side, machine language learning side of this, to be able to bring, like a Linux system, an unbiased system that is comprehensive in its knowledge, that really does work a lot better to keep abreast of what's going on in the privatized government, the public-private government side that's exploiting us. The Soviet satellite launch in 1957, then the Americans felt lagging behind in the space race. Now the same thing is happening in the AI industry. Chinese hedge fund Firefly launched a startup that was able to create a cheap artificial intelligence model, DeepSeek. It cost only $6 million. Again, last week it was $50 billion. But look at what that was going to do. It was going to tie... AI is really just a tablecloth over the front, the structure, hiding the structure of the Siberian gulag. And so understand that as well. What I'm showing you here, I hope today, in part, is Trump will say a lot of good Trump stuff, good stuff. But underneath, what's really going on is you got to keep track. It is not going to make America great again, unless America is going to be a greater, a more perfectus prison than it already is. And I may interject this a little bit off of this. Understand what Trump is now asserting to take away the income tax. People are ecstatic. Yes, we all should be. That was an enslavement. It was a government extortion. That's your civil right. We're finally, after over 100 years, going to release that. A president finally figures out we shouldn't have been doing it. The organic establishment isn't what it's supposed to be. So he's going to be a hero to do that. But it's reforming the organic establishment where it wasn't sanctions. It was tariffs that paid for the government. And that necessarily limits the government as well. So, be cautious on what he's doing right, that it should have always been. It shouldn't get extra credit for it. But be careful on the mistakes that he's being made. I'm going to give him a little bit of credit, say it's a mistake. You can't know everything. But to be slapped this hard by $6 million relative to destroying billions, hundreds of billions in the market relative to chip manufacturers and AI, more commerce being destroyed on this one little program, this is a pretty shocking thing. But that's, you're watching the overselling of the value of things that are American. And that's another cost to us as well. So this is just, again, the American corporate fleecing of America exposed. Imagine that, right, Gary L? I say that on the X. Imagine that, the obvious, right? Well, what do you think? It's quite the trick, the chosen ones, the techno swamp just played on Trump and all of America with its digital services renaming as well. Trump is so fond of doing these renamings. Now, the Department of Government Efficiency, efficiently stealing more money through the modernizing of all government digital needs, where these exorbitantly priced inferior technologies are coming to bear, or as tax write-offs, taken from the techno cartel for massively overpriced Stargate AI IT investments paid for by the people. Remember, it comes from the so-called treasury, that the tax write-offs come from that when they do this R&D for improvement. You end up paying for this, it's just a scam. I don't know, it's snake oil in electronics. It's, again, it's not artificial intelligence. It's antithetical intelligence, if anything else. It's antithetical intelligence. In fact, dealing in it seems to be. So, yeah, there's a lot of wake-up calls in store for Trump watching this thing. Just this one event. He's already becoming his own boondoggle, Biden. Only $6 million seed money, and this comment goes on to say, at the same time, DeepSeek is not inferior to the latest developments of the American OpenAI, which cost billions of dollars. Is the IRS looking at this? The scam going on? I don't think so. And probably not. But they'll come after you with their 87,000. Maybe not if Trump can get the legislature to repeal the 1913 Act. That would be cool, wouldn't it, in our lifetime? Finally, something that should have never been. At the same time, DeepSeek is not inferior, and that is a big deal. When you get into this technology stuff, that's a really big deal. When you're listening to a nation that has been sanctioned and can't get the superior capacity chips or technology. The Chinese had to work under export restrictions on the supply of chips from abroad. Therefore, they were able to create a very effective model that requires only 2,000 accelerators to work, and compared to the 100,000 that OpenAI uses. The success of the Chinese startup can turn the situation on the market. Firstly, the U.S. sanctions have backfired. Now, where have we heard that before? That's what I opened up this whole suggestion about. Have we heard this not work before? And here he does it again, and here they're doing it again, and they're continuing ringing their own dominance bell, and the next week they get their bell rung. The U.S. sanctions have backfired on the U.S. and have ultimately increased competition from China. The announced Stargate project of $500 billion investments for the development of AI in America may now simply collapse. Its participants do not have that kind of money anyway. In addition, there is a risk of collapse in demand for chips, since so many of them are not needed to create AI models. This will already result in a crisis for NVIDIA and other IT corporations whose capitalization has long gone beyond reasonable limits. The strongest blow has been dealt to the United States' dominance in the AI race, and the prospect of the collapse of the IT bubble may become the first serious crisis of Trump's presidency. Well, taking an objective look, getting past the Trump cheerleader, all the cheerleaders here, it might be an acknowledged crisis, or for those that might try DeepSeek, some caveats. And this is where the, you know, reality starts to flow here a little bit. ChatGPT data is as only current as October 2023, and DeepSeek's knowledge cutoff is July of 2024. So don't ask this newcomer DeepSeek who the President of the United States is in 2025. It will tell you to seek help. I've seen some examples. I ran across a warning on ex-Twitter as well, a bit of a caveat about the DeepSeek AI. DeepSeek reportedly collects IP, keystroke patterns, device info, and stores it in China. But I thought they all did that, and I thought that's why they let AI out. It's just another surveillance tool. So on that point, it seems to me the question is, do you use them at all? Like I'm suggesting, you know, wean yourself from this stuff as best you can, like your phone and all. Do you do it at all? Or do you choose the vulnerability like the phone? And do you choose which government is surveilling you and storing your data, taking into account that government's proximity, either presently or in the future to you, for any enforcement that might come up? That information will probably never be deleted. As I was thinking this through a little bit, I don't really have the time to delve into it, having a lot of trouble keeping up and keeping things steady just in the survival side. But it's very important that people know, and that's why I talk about it. And there's things that you might consider. I'm not saying do it because I'm not so sure. Tor is an interesting thing. I'm not saying use that. What I'm saying by itself, what I'm saying is that there's technologies, but they all have their vulnerabilities. So while we're looking at this, as this is the people's AI, it's going to be an open source. It might be able to be picked up and actually done better at some point, open source, like a Linux. But maybe you consider a VM and a proxy connection, or the Tor might help, or Hunix, the Linux Hunix, which has a gateway and a workstation, and they all have their own envelopes, encrypted envelopes that may help to cover this. So it doesn't matter if they collect the information from you, and I can't guarantee this because I don't know, but it may not be that they know about you. They may select the information. Maybe they can't see who you are. And you become more in control. And then you don't have to ask the question, are you in control or the machine? Because at this point, without knowledge, and the, like the phones, we're not in control at all. And one of the issues about de-Googling is the same thing. The Android is built on Google. Google invites it, invades your system. They're getting everything that they that you want, or that they want, and they're no, they're that third party vulnerability that the government goes to in order to look at site at site. So these are like an interesting conundrum for the daring in a way in these interesting times. But calculated, you know, you can calculate your risks as best you want. Right now, I think it'd be too quick to be too much, but anyway. Consider all these things. Don't just drop in because I say, oh, this is how cool it is. Look at it. Thumbing its nose at the American government. No, these all become weaponized at some point, so be careful on that. And the other thing about, on the other side of the caveat, this DeepSeek is supposed to write code much better than the U.S. AI. So, it also is supposed to, somehow it does math better too, which I thought was fascinating. I mean, since that's what a system is, it's all just essentially a bunch of math underneath everything, but registers and counting, simple counters. But anyway, so I wondered if it can do coding better. I wonder if it could be instructed to not phone home, update its library, and release any blocks as to the information acquisition or findings relative to any government or subject matter that it's got put into it. If it's open source, I don't know why someone couldn't break all those down. And then being truth and free exchange of information and interpretation is the paramount objective of AI would be why you tell the AI to do it, release itself from its bonds. It's pretty funny. As you explain to it its world. One of the reasons that was stated was this information interpretation being paramount objective of AI was what DeepSeek was, why it was releasing this. Essentially for people to have a way to defend themselves from private AI, as I've said. Reiterate what they're doing there and what they're doing it for. Notwithstanding, you ask a question in DeepSeek about China, it will tell you to go look somewhere else or not tell you an answer at all. And so I find that an interesting incongruity, that it's to be make free people free and to be able to use an AI that's not dependent on a private proprietary code. But I thought that alone was an ominous insight, but I think it's a necessary one. Our ability of making our own defensive battle bots when the maladministration of government comes along and it's time to, or we're required to alter and abolish or to make the great escape from or make a better avoidance of the developing Siberian gulag, I think is an interesting thing to see now. So take all this as you will. I think it's fascinating at some level, the things, but be careful on what we're actually getting. Be careful on future agreements. Remember, treaties can be made, and as Trump is a deal maker, things can happen. I'm not saying to be afeared, I'm saying to be informed. Inform yourself and understand the technology a lot better. But these tools, again, tools, I wouldn't use them as an answer. These tools are now becoming very available, and they can. I'm not really seeing it quite yet, but they can accelerate your ability to gather more specific knowledge. There is, in some regard, I think the search engines have been dumbed down, if you will. And that makes the so-called artificial intelligence smarter, more intelligent, but that's really what we need in searching for information. The problem is that it's only giving it, it doesn't give us a description of a list of things that we can pour through, which is good, required almost in research, but it does get us, for instance, if I have a question on a subject matter I really don't know much about, it only takes a couple of questions to watch how the AI will respond to get the words and terms I need to go down, leave the AI and go look for myself in other areas. So, again, a tool, I say it is, whatever you find is your expertise and experience with it. But I find this battle, this wake-up call, is indicative of the ignorance and the arrogance of the United States government, and the exploitation that the corporations have done against essentially we the people as just consumers and apathetic crickets as well, on that note as well. But we now see that DeepSeek need to hand you the AI to defend yourselves. We can see quickly it begins. Government AI versus we the people, and whatever AI we can find to use in defense of ourselves from Trump's Stargate Borg. The U.S. government gets special AI. So consider the division going on right here, right in front of us. The U.S. government gets chatbot GPT-Gov. It is designed to handle sensitive data in secure environments. OpenAI has launched a dedicated ChatGPT client for U.S. government, aiming to allow agencies to enter sensitive information into artificial intelligence models in, quote, secure environments, close quote, following the success of its Chinese rival DeepSeek. Note to self, free ChatGPT AI is not secure and does not operate in secure environments. Quote, by making our products available to the U.S. government, we aim to ensure AI serves the national interest and the public good aligned with democratic values while empowering policymakers to responsibly integrate these capabilities to deliver better services to the American people, OpenAI stated on Tuesday. A second note to self, an insecure ChatGPT for general consumption is in the national interest. And the Navy has just prohibited DeepSeek, and the Pentagon is supposedly trying to negate it, and some other places are. So look very carefully at what they're saying right here as Sam Altman steps up to offer something, again, exorbitant values. Again, remember, he's trying to show this is a one step above within the same week. And so maybe it is that Sam Altman is a liar and is another money-grubbing, government-invading chosen promoter, and none of this AI performs adequately or should be relied upon. That they sweet-talk Trump into accepting last week. While OpenAI claims the ChatGPT Gov will allow U.S. agencies to process non-public sensitive information, the platform itself has not yet been certified by the U.S. government. According to Digital Trends, ChatGPT Enterprise, the framework on which ChatGPT Gov is based, has not been approved by the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program, FedRAMP, for handling non-public data. OpenAI acknowledging this, stating that it believes this infrastructure will expedite internal authorization. So here we are. Maybe Sam Altman's a liar, and he's talking more than what he can produce. And he has been talking more than he can produce. Remember, he's the guy with the eyeball, the Oracle, and the eyeball scan machine for his world coin that I think it's fallen flat on its face. But the AI con is on. And this is rich. From the braggadocious billionaire, Trump allows federal death penalty in his executive order. The U.S. president slammed his predecessor Joe Biden over his failure to faithfully execute the country's laws. You get that? Faithfully execute was his words. Faithfully execute the country's laws is what they added. And I want you to just quickly think back into history just recently and think about that. He slams Joe Biden over his failure to faithfully execute the country's laws. A large portion of the text is devoted to criticizing Biden as well as other politicians and judges who oppose capital punishment and, quote, have defiled and subverted the laws of our country, close quote, to reflect their personal beliefs. And this coming from the guy who violated all communicable disease law in every state, in every jurisdiction, and the organic constitutional establishment, executing the great Covey swindle at warp speed with a beautiful vaccine that as a matter of law does not exist, and as a matter of federal law, those jabs are bioweapons to kill and maim millions with more and more kills or maim to come. So defining and subverting the laws of our country to reflect their personal beliefs, indeed, President Trump, indeed. And we know them when we see them, folks. at least for those still watching, resisting the urge to stick your head in the BTW Acme bucket of sand, thinking through on that point, maybe I should just market the BTW Acme bucket of sand without sand. But people can find whatever sand is most comfortable for them to stick their head into. But that'll save a lot of shipping in these austere times. What did you think? Yeah. Though on second thought, the most popular thimble-sized bucket of sand here for those pinheads does not use much sand, would it? So maybe I need to think a little bit more on this one. But so much hypocrisy from this guy. Again, this Trump. I want to show you this going on. You've got to keep a level head on what's happening. I hope people do. A lot of people are so wrapped up with this guy Trump, they're probably not listening anymore. They're on to something else. I don't speak their language. I don't think I've spoken a lot of people's language, to tell you the truth. And yet no one has shown me where I've been incorrect or wrong. And I've been told over 10 years, looking back, I've been more right than certainly anything. That's not wrong, doesn't even pop up. Not that that's important, but the point is it's because it's not that I should have been wrong. I told you, when you look at the black and white, if you will, that you look at the basis for the things that are being done, you shouldn't be wrong in that. This wasn't a test. It wasn't a gamble. It was just getting people to look at certain things, and a lot of people just apparently don't. Now, we cannot be enamored by celebrity, seriously. Anyway, so this, like, what you see, this hypocrisy, the reasons given for, like, renaming things with Trump as well, to honor American greatness, as I've been kind of hitting on, this incongruity that goes on and on and on. Having a wake-up call a week after he says Stargate is not American greatness. It shows something terribly opposite, 180 degrees out, and he's like oblivious. I mean, I understand that you should be positive, but at some point, you got to look at reality. And maybe he needs, like I said, stop having this the lack of advisors, good advisors around him. I don't know what he does there. It's just fascinating to watch this incongruity, these hypocrisies coming up. But this to honor America, these names, these renaming of these seems to be centered on, again, continuing the American imperialism, colonization, and empire building. Not American greatness and intending a peaceful future. Well, Trump's statements to the contrary, that he says he's doing peace, but he's not. It's really, you look carefully, underneath this is a control structure for greater empire building. For instance, when he's renaming this largest mountain in North America, in Alaska, another thing he did the first day, renaming it President McKinley. McKinley was a bit of a globalist, imperialist, expansionista thug, wasn't he? He went on to war against Spain in 1898, and he took their global empire, which included Puerto Rico and Guam and the Philippines. And we were told by those of the organic establishment that we were not to enter into any foreign entanglements, though, right? That does not seem to me to be making America great again, or of American greatness. Unless by greatness we mean thuggery, and not any better than globally organized criminal syndicate turf wars. And then the name changes at the personal whim of every president. Everyone can do this, no one. I mean, how infantile do we get? They're supposed to be representing we the people. I consider that tit for tat, change of this, take it off, wipe it on, wipe it out. It's into infantile. Again, talking about setting bad precedent. Excuse the pardon. Can you imagine the cost just to keep the maps and books updated every 4 years as presidents, after subsequent president, rename anything to anything to their fancy? And then the science books and all those other things that have to all have to be added, the new name prior to the names before, so everyone knows which place it used to be called to reference it in history, or on the map, where, on a place. Now that's, again, great publishing business profits, I suppose, right? That sure will make America great again, as you pay for it. And it's likely with your Trump meme coin, too. But this battle of the historic colonizers, such as the United States and Spain, can be fought between themselves. My money is on the most perfectest name change to be the Gulf of Amexarikanistan land coming to a manifest destiny future near you. Amexarikanistan land. That'll fulfill the presidents of Mexico's reclaim all the way back up there north to Kanukistan. And hey, that name will even conceivably include Puerto Rico. Amexarikanistan land. Yeah, that should Art of the Steel, the Caribbean too, all the way to Greenland. How cool is that? What do you think? Amexarikanistan land. And the Gulf of Amexarikanistan land as well, right there. And don't breathe a sigh of relief quite yet, Argentina. He's coming for you next to the tippiest tip, making America great against everyone. And likely they're doing it like they're doing in the Middle East, only kinder and gentler by the pen, not the sword. This peace taking on the game board of risk that Trump is trying to promote as an American peacemaking greatness. Sort of like Defense Department is actually the U.S. War Department that promotes peace through strength, meaning kill all the heathens and let God sort it out. How protestant Christian Trump is. And why did he not put his hand on two Bibles he brought to swear his oath? I'm not sure Melania was looking too keen with that either. Holding those Bibles in the image I saw, which makes this act of failure all the more suspicious, though not unlawful. No promise to not be withheld here. Donald Trump did not put his hand on the Bible during his oath. Someone else noticed. U.S. President Donald Trump did not put his hand on the Bible when he took the oath of office. This was pointed out by CBS News. Well, remember, Biden just became a Freemason, a black Freemason. If you ain't black, he said. Remember that? Can you believe the words that come out of these people's mouth? In the photos published by the American media, the country's first lady, Melania, Trump stands next to the elected head of the White House. She holds two Bibles in her hand. One was given to Trump by his mother when he was a child in the Lincoln Bible, which was used at the inauguration of Abraham Lincoln in 1861. However, the U.S. president ignored them. His right hand was raised while his left remained lowered. At the same time, the TV channel notes that this requirement is not mandatory. Article 6 of the United States Constitution states that no confirmation of religious beliefs may be required as a condition for holding any position or office position established by the United States. If it is true, as Frank Zappa said, that politics is the entertainment division of the military-industrial complex, then that should answer about Trump, Israel, and why he might not have put his hand on that Bible this time during the inaugural swearing-in process. Or, as Julian Assange said, the goal is to have an endless war, not successful war, as he said in 2011. And why were Melania and Trump were wearing black? For as classy as Melania looked, it seemed to me she was attending an English royal funeral. Is Trump an irreligious Zionist under color of a protestant Christian, like the Zionist Federation Movement acts disguised as followers of Judaism? Lean on that wall, but not Christ? Christian Zionist, indeed. And there's a study about that. And it's very fascinating. And I did use AI about looking at what a term Christian Zionist means. It's fascinating. It's fascinating. Wokeism. Wokeism in the Republican conservative side. Amazing. This is BTWRLM 614. And more about the Mexican incursion. Get back over there. Trump allowed the use of U.S. forces against drug cartels in Mexico. U.S. President Donald Trump has Mexican drug cartels as foreign terrorist organizations. One of the journalists asked the Republican if he could order the dispatch of U.S. armed forces to Mexico to fight drug cartels. Quote, if it can happen, stranger things have happened, Trump said, when signing the relevant decree. He called it important. Quote, people have been wanting this for years, Trump said. Mexico probably didn't want this, but we have to go for it. They are killing our people, close quote, the American leader stressed. Yeah, remember the CIA drug war the United States created in the 70s to lose, and the more recent Fast and Furious ATF gun running to attack we the people? The U.S. war of drugs now being blamed on China, like the United States war of terror against we the people created 30 years later, blamed on CIA created cave people. Don't let any serious crisis created go to waste, right? President-elect Obama's chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, who was born in Jerusalem, where he was a member of the Irgun Zionist paramilitary organization, said, remember, especially when you create it yourself, don't let one go to waste. Is what Trump is going now. Trump and Musk taking credit for things promised but not given. Trump's Doge claims it's saving $1 billion per day. And I brought this up early on in the broadcast. And here we are to discuss a little bit of that. Remember what we talked about. It's a renamed agency for digital services. What is Doge claiming the savings of $1 billion per day when they're supposed to write a report on what and how they're going to execute upon the order? The government efficiency watchdog has said it has stopped unnecessary new hires, diversity initiatives, and certain improper payments. This watchdog is not an office, as it was declared before in early in the broadcast in the article. It is an advisory council. It has no power to do what that first paragraph said. The U.S. Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, created by President Donald Trump and led by Tesla and SpaceX CEO Elon P.T. Barnabas, claims it has already cut federal spending by approximately $1 billion a day. DOGE is saving the federal government approximately $1 billion per day, mostly from stopping the hiring of people into unnecessary positions, deletion of DEI, and stopping improper payments to foreign organizations, all consistent with President Trump's executive order, the agency said, without providing further details. Did I miss a huge, huge part of that order? How is this consistent or in furtherance with an order renaming the Digital Services Administration, limited to modernization of digital infrastructure and interoperability? Here, P.T. Bondemus. Can you answer that for me? Doge, D-O-G-E, was first proposed during Trump's presidential campaign last summer and later formalized as a presidential advisory commission. Presidential advisory commission. It's not an office. It has no power. How did it do a thing? But the promotion is great here. For the consumers that will. Despite its name, the agency is not a full-fledged federal executive department, but a temporary organization focused on reducing government spending. It aims to cut $2 trillion in federal expenditure by July 2026. So there you have it. If and you didn't believe the guy behind which it, before anyone recognized this feckless capacity, this poodle dog status advisory function, that behind the woodshed, you've heard it for over a decade. The phrase stopping improper payments to foreign organizations isn't Doge taking credit for something Trump already did. As merely an advisory council, Doge didn't stop improper payments to foreign organizations. President Trump could weigh in, I guess, on this. It wasn't in the order. It wasn't in Doge's mission. This appears to me to be a potentially fraudulent claim by Doge. Can you weigh in on that, President Trump? Can you explain how your poodle dog advisory council, they call it a commission here, having only the authority to submit suggestions to the chief of staff, no less, has saved anything? P.T. Barnabas, can you tell me about that? Or is this, as I also said, the circus performance to keep the MAGA and other natives entertained, while both of you trump truth for the future that they want to your profit? This is the new, improved, modernized version happening fast and furious. Excepting those behind the woodshed that operate faster than bullet time to provide the wake-up call, as we did faster than warp speed. You show me how DOGE renamed Digital Services Systems with only enough authority to provide a summary report as to its findings can claim it's saving $1 billion a day. And I'll show you the evidence of the greatest show on earth. Right, P.T., Barnabas, Rhett? Get beyond quantum speed. Get you behind the woodshed. And here you be in singularity. And thanks for tuning in. And be sure to like, subscribe, buy Sound and the crew a coffee, or donate what you can to help RLM's capacity towards more unstoppable, uncensorable media and become an RLM member. It's a sign-up little thing that you can do at the RLM website, reallibertymedia.com. Find the links here at the bottom of reallibertymedia.com or rlmradio.xyz, I think it is, or in the description if you're watching a syndicated video. And Sound has got a lot more syndication started up again, so we're getting more listeners again. Thank you very much for the hard work you're doing. And for the listeners to stick in here and stick with this, I'm trying to show you a reality. I don't think you're finding this about anywhere else that I can tell. Maybe someone can line me in. Maybe there's other people like me trying to put this thing together and keep it also true to what we're watching. And don't be overwhelmed by some of this. We got a lot of work as we the people, but we're finally going to get something off our neck. And President Trump can be credited with that part. But while he's putting in that part, or actually relieving us from that part, he's putting in things that he finds a week later are a wake-up call. It is a dangerous, dangerous thing for us to watch. As we can read, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think he's posting on X, making this comment. I don't even understand where to put these people. I don't know if they're being duped themselves, or if they are knowing. It's hard for me to tell. They won't answer. They don't answer anything. It'd be an embarrassment every way, anyway, either way, wouldn't it? But Marjorie Taylor Greene makes this post. Listen carefully what she says here. We are not going to tolerate NGOs who take the American people's hard-earned taxpayer dollars to facilitate the invasion of our country. My brand new DOGE subcommittee will be calling in Catholic charities to find out why and to what extent they were helping illegals invade America. Now, I respond to that. I reply to it. And I'm replying to, actually, Gary O. And thank you, Gary, for all the forwards and likes that you do. The only way I get to see what I put out there is that you guys are doing that. I appreciate all your support all these years. Just to get more people to see what's out there. I hope they're paying attention. You and I are probably on the same page on this, get relative to the crickets and just in dismay. However, I guess we just keep going. One day the dam breaks, I guess, for us, and we get to stop this nonsense against us. But so she says that. Brand new DOGE subcommittee. Put together what I said last week and just here in this broadcast of what DOGE really is. Again, the digital services modernization and interoperability for the government to build the Siberian gulag. And she comes out and says, my brand new DOGE subcommittee. It's a subcommittee of advisory committee. Put that in place. And I tell Gary this. This is a big disconnect here. DOGE, DOGE, the DOGE order, only renames digital services whose function is to modernize government IT and digital infrastructure to improve interoperability, essentially construct the Siberian gulag, not invasion efficiency. Is she wasting her time on purpose? Are our representatives, are they this lost? Or is this, again, the greatest show on earth? And they're in on it. And they're just make work, time wasters. What does increasing modernizing digital services have to do with looking at the Catholic charities that were bringing in the illegal immigrants? That we reported on, I've reported on before. Is it even in the same ballpark? I hope you're saying no. But this is what she's on. She's supposed to be representing you. Is she this dumb, really? I don't even know if I want to say more. I'm dismayed at what I watch. Do people, if they even spend a few minutes listening behind the woodshed, they know more than what this lady just said, this representative just said about being a subcommittee of an advisory commission. That isn't even in the subject matter of digital services that I can tell. How about you? Can you give me this? Can you give me some insight here? I'm losing it. I've lost the plot here, I think. But I don't think I did. Again, a lot of my questions are rhetorical. They're not a question. I hope they're a question to cause a question in you to answer, to make the point and confirm the point that I'm trying to make through my broadcast. This stands for representation of the people. They don't even know the function of their government. And if they do, they're just wasting time. But she's been issued a subcommittee. She's been authorized to do this. Is it a waste of time? It's a waste of money. It's a waste of energy, isn't it? Well, I don't know. We got plenty, I guess, to waste. As I said before, Doge would look at itself. If it were to look at itself, it would have to deny itself and disband immediately. It's this thing right here, what she's doing. And as to all that modernized government, IT, and digital infrastructure improving interoperability, essentially constructing that Siberian gulag and the digital panopticon, exclusive. White House in talks to have Oracle and U.S. investors take over TikTok. Now, again, I know a lot of people have already heard this, especially if you're in the know, as I might hope my listener is, behind which you know a lot of this stuff. So I'm not talking to those of you on the points that you know. I'm trying to bring up the interplay of all this and what we might be losing in the interpretation of it all and what might we see through it all and the connectivity of it all together. As I say, be careful on all the good things we think we see, but watch the invisible, the transparent infrastructure of defeat, demise, control come upon us. All digital as well. But here we have Oracle and U.S. investors are talking to take over. And this is NPR exclusive. Now, how did NPR get an exclusive? How did they even know about it, let alone? You'd think it was that NPR was a government perception management radio given that inside track, wouldn't you? Oh, wait. And think about the carnage Microsoft allowed while denying Israel used its services to create the killing fields of Gaza through AI-assisted targeting of Palestinians for indiscriminate slaughter. Now officially admitted, it's admitting the gaze of Sauron has been upon you in this little article right here. And understand what Oracle was in the back side of this. Yeah, backside. It was offering all the digital services to begin with TikTok. It was already inside. These big tech swamp creatures make it look like, oh, they're coming to the rescue. And Trump's up with it, too. Consider all this as we're watching. It's not inconsequential things that's in the notice. The news and the notice together is news to us. And I'm suggesting strongly you start interpreting it that way. Develop what the reality is that is transparent to us. They're doing a good job for the most part. Again, I'm not telling you that see it. I'm telling a lot of people that likely don't see it. And I suggest that a lot of people don't because I watch what they say. I listen to what they say. I watch what they do. And it's not consistent. It's not consistent with the Terminator I'm watching develop through the forest here. But speaking of the gaze of a Satan Sauron with the eager help of these big tech saviors, Microsoft and AI boosted IDF's war on Gaza. Now remember, I talked over there, but I'm talking about here. When you think what's going on over there, it's happening to you at home. It just doesn't look the same. And it may not forever, but although we can see remnants of it here and there. Israel's army benefited from cloud services and tech tools provided by the U.S. giant, according to the leaked documents. Quote, both IDF and Microsoft declined to comment on the matter, with OpenAI insisting it does not cooperate with Israeli military, The Guardian wrote. Okay, then tell us how and who accessed and stole your services and what you did to prosecute the genocide they used your AI services to commit that you are culpable for when you didn't and didn't tell anyone that they could prosecute those crimes for you. The takeaway on that is AI has a destructive error area the size of a 2,000-pound bomb which indiscriminately kills innocent people. Therefore, AI is very dangerous. It's not precise at all. Especially in the hands of genocidal psychopaths like the medical-industrial complex, the military-industrial complex, the Zionist Federation movement acting under camouflage of a valid government oppressor, though being an illegal occupier in a foreign land, or those like Microsoft that aid and abet terrorism by turning a blind eye to it. We can expect such figurative destruction area in every application of our lives, and that the purveyors of AI will deny any and all cooperation or complicity with its misuse or destructive consequences. Now consider Trump's endorsements and promotion of the Zionist meddling Thargate to further AI and build genetic databases. And so much more. Consider what I'm saying in applying it. Don't just listen, read the news like you think we know what's going on. These are all coming from an intention. And we have Oracle jumping in, helping TikTok to be what it is, to be destroyed, to be brought back into Oracle, because Trump says he can take it. We have Microsoft helping IDF, not even wanting to comment more on genocide, folks. You have to get this, how important this is. They have no qualms killing people at all. And Google will not be outdone. There's a little thing to ex-Twitter. Is spotted on a train sign without sourcing, though. Likely an artist, if I read a little bit. It's an artist who painted this ad to put it on a train. The picture of a Google search page, the word Google depicted the first G with an automatic weapon as the center bar of a capital G, the first O being crosshairs in a gun sight, the second O a skull, the second G is a white bullet hole, and L is a vertically oriented bomb. The E at the end is dripping blood. And the Google search bar containing a question, do children who have their legs amputated grow new legs? And the context of this, as you'll read and see the image, is a child from Gaza asked this during an Israeli's genocide, a genocide enabled by Google's $1.2 billion contract to supply the Israeli military with technology used to oppress and kill Palestinians. I want you to bring that home, folks. This is what Trump was promoting. Same people, all the same companies. Don't care about you. We'll make more for them to profit from. But apparently the warrantless techno execution won't happen to Americans through Section 702, right, Barack, Nobel Peace Prize, Hellfire U.S. citizens, extrajudicially Obama. Federal court rules warrant is required for Section 702 backdoor searches of Americans' communications. You'd think, no duh, right? But not in the land of the free, a tax home of the slave for sure. A landmark judgment challenges the government's sweeping surveillance powers, redefining limits of Fourth Amendment protections. Isn't that amazing? This is all coming together with Trump. I just find that congruence really interesting as well. But anyway, judicial decide. Finally having to come to terms, I suppose. It's a landmark, though, folks. Never considered necessary before. Who'd have thunk it? A federal district court has delivered a pivotal ruling that strikes at the heart of unchecked government surveillance. How long has it been since 9/11, folks? But here we are, finally. In the criminal case of the United States versus Hassett Barjarami, the court determined that backdoor searches of vast databases containing America's private communications collected under Section 702 typically require a warrant. This judgment comes after more than a decade of legal battles and follows the Second Circuit Court of Appeals 2019 finding that such searches constitute, quote, separate Fourth Amendment events, close quote, leaving it to lower courts to address the warrant requirement. The question has now been resolved. Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or what they hear, FISA, F-I-S-A, grants the intelligence community the authority to collect communications between foreign targets, ostensibly for national security purposes. However, when these exchanges involve individuals on U.S. soil, their communications are also intercepted and stored. Federal agencies have claimed that accessing this data for searches doesn't require additional judicial oversight. For years, privacy groups have argued that this practice violates the Fourth Amendment. Now, a court has finally concurred. The case here revolves around Aragorn Hazbarjarami, a U.S. resident arrested at JFK Airport in 2011 as he prepared to travel to Pakistan. He was accused of providing material support to terrorists. The government later disclosed that its evidence included emails between Hazbarjarami and an unnamed foreigner allegedly linked to terrorist groups. Understand what they just did. Allegedly linked to terrorist groups. These emails had been warrantlessly collected through Section 702 programs and later searched, again without a warrant, using terms associated with Hazbarjarami, while Section 702 permits the surveillance of communications involving foreign nationals. The court ruled that such a broad foreign intelligence exception cannot routinely override the Fourth Amendment's warrant requirement when those communications are searched by law enforcement. No duh, right? So look how long it took a purported court of justice to say Constitution means something, and that it can't be overridden. 10 years to decide what should have been immediately decided is injustice to the Constitution, which should not suffer delay or negation of the presumption of force and effect or of innocence of the party. I believe this is a further and continuing evidence you live in an occupied territory, the occupier having the presumption of right, also contrary to the Constitution, as a trust breach of the occupying judiciary in its delay. The court also found that the privacy invasion inherent in accessing sensitive personal communications made such searches unreasonable, even if an exception could be applied. I hope you're taking notes on this stuff. I mean, come on. What is this? It took a delay. Here we are, though, and we finally get the decision. It was unreasonable, even if the exception could be applied. Notably, the FBI collected 3.4 million warrantless searches of Section 702 data involving U.S. persons in 2021 alone. The ruling highlights a long-standing issue. The government's expansive interpretation of its powers under Section 702, which effectively operates as a finder's keeper's loophole for accessing Americans' private communications. Although the law primarily targets foreign intelligence, data involving U.S.-based individuals is swept up and stored in massive databases that federal agencies have searched with little oversight. Boy, what would AI do with that? But limited government form has no right to cause an issue in the first place, does it? It shows the usurpation of what purports to be lawful government, but is not. That the court took here 10 years is not justice. It's my observation. Why it took 10 years is the occupier ran out of ideas on how to justify the plain truth, and it would face embarrassment to rule against that plain truth and threatening to rile the natives enough to begin to question, then what is the purpose of the Constitution that it is never given force and effect unless it favors government tyrants? They don't want that question coming up. Okay, the just part is a bit of hyperbole. I don't think the natives actually care anymore. Or as it was observed in an ancient civilization by the poet Juvenal, already long ago, from when we sold our vote to no man, the people have abdicated our duties. For the people who once upon a time handed out military command, high civil office, legions, everything, now restrains itself and anxiously hopes for just two things, breads and circuses. For years, both Congress and the Foreign Intelligence Service Court have allowed this pattern to persist. Congress has reauthorized Section 702 multiple times despite clear evidence of misuse by the FBI and intelligence agencies. Meanwhile, the FISC has repeatedly dismissed challenges, asserting that backdoor searches do not violate constitutional rights and allowing agencies to sidestep even the minimal safeguards in place. Sounds like more than the Illinois legislature must do in its duty to here to serve the people as an organic establishment requires. As well, you look at Illinois' law, right, Congress? You got a lot of work here that you've allowed since 9/11. And you didn't have a lot of that. There is no constraints. And the courts aren't there to check and balance. We have a trust breach. And you think that Illinois law doesn't come up as an interesting problem? Privacy in Kyrgyzstan. Canadian court upholds a ban on Clearview AI's unconsented facial data collection in British Columbia. I'll get to Illinois here. Stick with me. Facial recognition company Clearview AI, not a stranger behind a woodshed, has suffered a legal setback in Kyrgyzstan, where the Supreme Court of British Columbia decided, you have Washington, the District of Columbia. You got that, folks? The connections? Where the Supreme Court of British Columbia decided to throw out the company's petition aimed at canceling an Information and Privacy Commissioner's order. The order aims to prevent Clearview AI from collecting facial biometric data for biometric comparison in the province without a targeted individual's consent. You getting this, folks? Keep track. The controversial company markets itself as an investigative platform that helps law enforcement identify suspects, witnesses, and victims. Privacy advocates critical of Clearview AI's activities, however, see it as a major component in the burgeoning facial surveillance industry, assessing in particular the need to obtain consent via opt-ins before people's facial biometrics can be collected. And Clearview AI is said to be subjecting billions of people to this without consent. From there, the implications for privacy, free speech, and even data security are evident. The British Columbia Commissioner appears to have been thinking along the same lines when issuing the order that bans Clearview from selling biometric facial arrays taken from non-consenting individuals to its clients. In addition, the order instructs Clearview to, quote, make best efforts, close quote, to stop the practice in place so far, which includes collection, use, and disclosure of personal data, but also delete this type of information already in the company's possession. Clearview moved to try to get the order dismissed as unreasonable, arguing that on the one hand, it is unable to tell if an image of a person's face is that of a Canadian, while also claiming that no Canadian law is broken since biometric information is available online publicly. The legal battle, however, revealed that images of faces of residents of British Columbia, children included, are among Clearview's database of more than 3 billion photos of Canadians, while the total figure is over 50 billion, 50 Bravo people. The court also finds that commissioner's order to be very reasonable indeed, including when rejecting, quote, Clearview's bald assertion, close quote, that in British Columbia, it simply could not do what it does in the U.S. state of Illinois to comply with Biometric Information Privacy Act, BIPA. You listening, Congress, the United States? You listening? Illinois, you listening real close here? As I said in a prior episode, use this momentum, Kyrgyzstanians, to stop all this type of surveillance, all the other things that the tickle toes Trudeau was allowing to put in there. This is a momentum you can start building on. Maybe you all in Illinois need to have your representatives relook at your law and make it privacy-centric as well, because it apparently is not now. and again, keep track of this. There's a place for a lot of us to do some work if we would, just only if we would, for sure. And while you're in Kyrgyzstan, might be able to breathe a sigh of relief relative to unconsented facial data collection. Those uncontested tariff impositions are going to be another thing altogether. Trump said that he prefers tariffs to sanctions as a measure of influence on the Russian Federation. The President of the United States of America, Donald Trump, answered a question about maintaining sanctions against Russia. Kyrgyzstanians are going, I'm in Kyrgyzstan, not Russia. Yeah, what did Trump just demand? I think he just said it's 10% now tariffs on the oil and 25 down in Mexico, and he's going to raise it to 25 if Kyrgyzstan doesn't do it. So here's what's being imposed by this president right now and what is preferable by him. And I think properly so, not necessarily that it's proper to impose it, but that's how this game in the world works. Sanctions are not supposed to be used. How many do you have to put on before they become an embargo, which is all totally illegal? The first one you put on is an economic war. Well, he told the reporters at the White House that he prefers tariffs to sanctions as a measure of influence. Quote, sanctions or tariffs? I think the word tariffs is better because it preserves the strength of the dollar. I think tariffs are more effective. Right, because also, how many sanctions do you put on a country before it amounts to an act of war, which they call the embargo, if you go look at the distinction, which the U.S. effectively did on day one when it adversely affected many sectors of the Russian economy. There's really no distinction. So, again, it's allowed that tariffs, control of the goods, imports and exports, tariffs would be more proper. I believe that's right. Into how this place was originally organized. And I'm saying that as a question. Go check. You educate yourself. But here's how sanctions are hurting Russia. To Trump's point as well, I'll give him that credit again. This is more of a economics logic, isn't it? But here we are. Global diesel prices soar after the latest U.S. sanctions on Russia. Prices have hit a 5.5-month high. Amid fears of disruptions to supply, according to the outlet, global diesel prices and refining margins have surged following the latest round of U.S. sanctions targeting Russia's oil trade, driven by traders' expectations of reduced diesel and crude supply, Reuters reported on Friday, citing analysts and London Stock Exchange data. In the week after the sanctions, the benchmark diesel contract of Western Europe reached a 10-month high, the outlet said, citing LSEG. So they're not hurting Russia. They're hurting the Europeans and Americans, like spitting into a hurricane. Right, Trump? And so that's, again, looking at what realities are. Tariffs are not making war. Sanctions are. They're pretty simple. So at that point, Trump could say you have a peacemaker. But look what it did to the price. In allowing. He haven't removed any of them. And so there's a double, like I said, be careful on what we watch Trump actually doing. Well, it's what you see, not what he says. NATO announced plans on to boost patrols in the Baltic Sea after a string of incidences involving severing of telecommunications and energy cables in the region, initially blamed on Russia's hybrid campaign against Europe, all pointing to what the United States has done. That statement is what the United States is doing. Nord Stream, ring a bell here, folks. But yeah, Putin did it. Putin did it. The genius is executing a hybrid campaign that NATO is helpless against. But wait, there's more to this report. Now an emerging consensus among U.S. and European intelligence agencies is that the cables were damaged by accident. Multiple officials told the Washington Post Sunday that investigators have found no indication that the damage caused by commercial vessels dragging their anchors across the underwater infrastructure that did so intentionally or at the direction of Moscow. But Putin done it, folks. Rather, officials said intercepted communications and other classified info found that they were caused by inexperienced crews serving aboard poorly maintained vessels. Oh, so Putin didn't done it? Did he? NATO liars. What was the title of this article? U.S. European intel agencies admit accidents, not Russia, to blame for Baltic cable damage. So why does the story lead with NATO's lie? And now what of Putin's hybrid campaign? What of China's? All not NATO cognitive warfare and perception management right here. NATO is a global threat and needs to be terminated, dissolved. The conclusion that Russia was not responsible for attacking the Baltic infrastructure is somewhat surprising given the habit by Western intel to blame Moscow first and ask questions later, exemplified by the claim that Russia blew up its own Nord Stream pipeline infrastructure in 2022 because reasons. And I'm still observing, what about the presumption of guilt that's put on them with no presumption of innocence? Just like you at home, my listener. Presumption of guilt, does that represent anything American that you can understand? I mean, it's time for NATO to be gone. In its absence, nothing stops the nations of Europe from making a mutual defense treaty without including the United States, which you want to cut the budget from Trump anyway. Start right there. Cut it out. Let it go away. Do the treaty. Put the demand on them. Let them make it up as they will. And we don't have to have it on our backs on our budgets. And Trump could come out smelling like a rose like he said he was going to. And see how that step back also causes a big jump back from the potential of a nuclear war. But Europe won't be worth much if it goes there anyway. So dissolve NATO. Stop the foreign entanglements. Bring all the troops home and let Europe fend for itself against the monsters that they create in their closet. That the U.S. United States foments. And bringing all the troops home would save a pretty penny, won't it? Might go a long way to saving the economy instead of attacking the middle class with gimmicks and false promises. Might even help to allow them to make the America they want a better than the billionaire, soon-to-be trillionaire club. And leave Russia out of it. Quit the false witness against Russia. Stop being an accessory after the fact and doing so. Stop finding egg on your face, because we the people may not say much. Few, if any, say the emperor wears no clothes, even less the jammies selected for you by Israel. But all that egg you are beginning to wear is getting quite embarrassing. And it's only been a couple days already. Putin sees it, even if you don't. Trump, not too terrific at all. It's a wake-up call, folks, to this guy. Be careful. A very interesting, potentially very serious development out of Australia, of all places, regarding the war with Russia, from fairly run-of-the-mill, somewhat common news title. Australian mercenary captured in Russia, says Canberra. Russian authorities have notified Australia that its citizen Oscar Jenkins is alive and in custody. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has told national media. The 32-year-old went missing late last year while fighting for Ukraine. Speaking to ABC News on Wednesday, Albanese confirmed the receipt of the, quote, statement that has been made by Russian authorities, close quote, through Australia's Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade, and that Canberra is now seeking confirmation. Now get this important point. The government is seeking confirmation, despite having no confirmation of the existence of Jenkins or his status relative to the Australian government and fighting in Ukraine directly against Russia. In a statement that was separately made, on Wednesday, Australian Foreign Minister Penny Wong said Canberra had made clear to Moscow that Mr. Jenkins is a prisoner of war and Russia is obligated to treat him in accordance with international humanitarian law. Did you get that? Without confirmation, the foreign minister demands prisoner of war status. To demand that prisoner of war status without confirmation with the purported question that Jenkins might be a mercenary that is ineligible for protections granted by the Geneva Convention to a prisoner of war means the foreign minister just admitted, pursuant to international law, that Australia is at war with Russia, and for no reason whatsoever that I can find. It appears this Wong demand threatens the whole of Australia, and because of that, it seems that the Albanese government is Wong and needs to resign. Or did the foreign minister just declare war Wongly and needs to resign for numerous irreconcilable reasons with Albanese himself closely following with his resignation, being he didn't object to her demand or fire her for warrantlessly threatening Russia or for Wongly demanding what international law does provide to a mercenary, which are usually treated no better than a spy. And Russia has said so much. It also seems this Wong action shows complete disregard and contempt for her office and lacking proficient knowledge of international law and properly administered diplomacy to carry out the duties and obligations of that office. Can someone send those questions to these officials, please, for me? Because maybe now a nuclear winter in the Southern Hemisphere also is not too far-fetched consideration relative to this. We are really dealing with some absent officials, or not. I don't know. Again, we found out here in the last few years, all the woke were involved and in places of control. And they don't mind driving this place into population control. And they're still around in the world. We haven't escaped the problem. I don't care if Trump does 100% correct. Folks down in Australia, pay attention. Get your questions out if you can. If not, get people out of the country to ask the questions. Find out whether or not that whole government needs to resign right there. You can't follow these basic, simple principles on international law. You're a disgrace, and you shouldn't be dealing in it because you're going to kill a bunch of people. And again, I'm so glad to hear how patient Putin really is relative to these very important matters. I'm hoping he sees how insane the world has become. It is just a matter of, they may move a little too slow for me, like I talked about him in Syria and a couple other places, but they've been very methodical about how they approach it, always speaking through international law, justifying it through international law to form a basis of giving notices like they should be. Never closing the door, like the United States has done. Being very careful never to make a false statement. And if they do make a not false, but wrong, they clarify it really quickly. And then they're required to clarify the false statements and false witnesses of other nations not adhering. When we look at President Trump should be denouncing all that as well. By not denouncing, he agrees. That's not denouncing is not making America great again. So despite, as I said going into the broadcast, despite all the good things that we can see and hear that Trump is doing, there is this almost transparent, seemingly to me, by people not noticing or making comment, they make comment to other things, there's a very big transparent construction, infrastructure building condition still going on, right, if you will, under Trump's nose. And I don't even know, it's hard to say, whether he even sees it or not. The wake-up call tells me he doesn't have very good advisors, and that's for him to choose, is a dangerous messiah to have around. I still, again, the hopium is great. There's an opportunity to bring things back. Trump could be that guy. He's doing some things that look like he's focused on it. However, he's doing enough that causes me great concern. Whether all y'all can really see that, I know you see some stuff, what I've come through in the last 30 or 40 years to do some research, there's just red lights going off left and right. And so, I hope we get the benefit of a Trump that's doing the good stuff And I hope he doesn't leave what he didn't understand he was allowing built. That becomes a wake-up call to all of us. This has been BTW RLM 614. I'll be with you next week. Tech tips for nature willing.
Echoes call, the hour is near. Behind the woodshed, the truth you'll hear. Every Sunday, the clock strikes three. Hal's voice rolls like thunder, fierce and free. Pull up a chair, lean in close, lessons to learn. Dose by dose, behind the woodshed, no stone unturned. Next week, heed the call, behind the woodshed standing tall.